Pickaxe.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
What a floppy dance intro.
That's nice. It's very wobbly, wasn't it?
Very wobbly.
Floppy.
Welcome to the Hatchet Podcast. I am Chris Trott.
Oh, hi, Chris Trott. I'm Ross Hornby.
And my name's Alex Smith. And hopefully you can distinguish the three of us.
Nice.
I hope so at this point. It's episode 58. Yeah. So if you're just jumping in now, there's some really good ones. We have some special guests and stuff in the early ones. So really good. But we've changed our format in the last few. We're now doing them every week, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. So this intro bit is just to remind you that that's happening and to tell you that thanks, Django, Jack Chick, for that fingle. That was cool.
Nice. Nice.
I believe that's how it's pronounced because, all right, I've got a working theory here. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, okay. Django.
Right.
Are you the son of the lead singer of the current singer of King Crimson? Jacko.
King Crimson.
Please let me know, because if that's so, that's cool as heck. And I'm glad you're making music too. It's a progressive rock band from like the late 70s. They went on a huge hiatus and then came back with Jacko as a new lead singer. If that's true, and Jacko's son is a fan of Hat Chat and has made music for us. Yeah. What a small world. That's cool.
that's my conspiracy. Crazy.
What if it's not true, though?
I've just looked this up, and I mean, yeah.
So that surname, again, I've watched some King Crimson like interviews and stuff like that because I am in that field of music. I enjoy that sort of thing. That surname is actually a spelling error from when I think technically Django's great-grandfather moved to England. And got the surname, typoed it, essentially. And it's pronounced Jack Chick.
Jack
Chick. So there you go.
Well, there we go.
I could be completely wrong.
A factoid. Could be.
You know, let me know. Either way, we're doing this every week now. They're 40 minutes, and they're sweet, and they've got little categories now. So we'll move straight into the first one, shall we? The hypotheticals.
Yeah.
That our wonderful patrons have allowed us... Mm-hmm. They've picked out of three. They've got two here. And we'll just get stuck into it, shall we? So what is our hypothetical of this week?
Which one do you want to go for? That's the first one?
Yeah.
Start with number one?
That's the most voted for.
Number one here says, how would you change your life today if the average life expectancy was 400 years?
That's I'd slow down a bit.
That's a bloody long time.
I'd slow down a bit.
Slow down, yeah? You think you're going... too fast.
Well, everything's in a rush, right? And you're just like, I just want to get all this stuff done. I feel like if you've got 400 years, that's like more than four times the lifetime I'm likely to get. Probably eight times, let's be honest. And I'd have so much time to just chill out and just
But it doesn't specify certain things here. Like, obviously, like 400 years. Is that 400 years based on... what the average life is now in terms of aging.
It's getting older and older. Yeah.
Is the first 100 years your teenage years? Or like...
It's what I, it's exactly how, what how I was going to say. And then I thought about, is this fun? Is this a fun thing to say? But I thought the exact same thing, Ross. It's because it feels... Right now, as a 33-year-old, life feels as though those like childhood moments and those like younger moments are quite distant now. And if you're going to live for 400 years as like the adult you are now, then that's going to be quite a different proposition to what you're saying exactly. Mm. If all of the stages of life were elongated proportionately, I think that would be interesting. Time obviously being quite subjective and our experience of time would also affect all of this. But ultimately, I think it was the same as you, Trot. My initial impression was I'd probably stop worrying as much about
got lots of time to figure it all out.
Exactly. Like, I think that, again, at about 30, you start thinking about, like you say, working it all out and like going like, right, I've probably got to like apply myself here and actually decide some things rather than as a kid and as an adolescent and as a person in your 20s. A lot of the time, at least the way we experienced it, you kind of felt like you were along for the ride, partly because as a kid, your parents are kind of the ones that are responsible for your actions ultimately. And partly, you know, the education system, none of us really knew what we wanted to do. We had inklings, you know, of like directions and things we were interested in, but
you're railroaded.
You are. Somewhat. Yeah. You feel as though you're along for the ride in education because you kind of are.
Yeah. Would that mean, based on your experience of like, well, what you said, say that that's the hypothetical, everything's stretched out. So your childhood is stretched out. You'd be in school for fucking long. You've been learning for a long ass time.
But think of how much you'd learn in that time, though. Would it work that way? Would it work the same way? I don't know. Or was that more time for you to fuck up? I don't know.
But I think you're right. Yeah. I don't think it would work the same way. And I think it's actually a really interesting, exciting idea because education wouldn't just take the form of classrooms. It would then go on to be other things because you'd get a basis in academics before, you know, you start realizing certain people have proficiencies for certain things. And it's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go and spend the next 10 years going to learn like farming or forestry or, you know, bakery or like something else, you know, like, and that's a part of their education. And at the end of that 10 years, like, you know, I had me and Trot know him, a friend who left college, as in left
lived
like
400 years old.
First year of college, they left, went off to become a hairdresser, like a barber for a bit, but like a woman's hairdresser, I think mostly. It wasn't a barber. You know, now there's very much this trendy barber thing going on right now.
A salon.
It was a salon, and he went and learned to do that. And then he did that for a while, got proficient, then went back and studied like biology, essentially, and now has a PhD. Like, you know, like, but he had... That's quite interesting. That's quite an interesting, like, you know, journey. And I think that creates interesting people.
He's a sporty guy as well. He did rugby as well, right?
Yeah, well, sort of.
On the side.
But I mean, it's just kind of interesting. It's interesting to give people the space to become like that colorful and that, like, you know, I think that'd be really cool if you could educate people like that, you know, go.
Yeah.
Just give people the opportunity to do things and try things. And that will better everybody. You know, it'll better the human race because we'll work out what's best for ourselves and each other. So it'd be awesome. I want to live, not forever. I think living forever is terrifying, but I think living for a very long time is extremely attractive prospect because I don't believe
at
in
what
life
age
after death.
Do you want your body to be at more of a static point though?
10 years
for
ago.
For that period of time. Let's say for the 400 years, let's say we age in the same way we do now, but we stop at a certain point for 200 of the years.
I think now's a good point.
I think maybe so, like,
you hit 30 years.
Yeah.
Then for the next
depending on who you are, I think depending on who you are, between the ages of 20 and 40, you can do whatever the hell you want. You know, there's not a huge amount of limitations. I mean, obviously it gets harder to work out and all, as you get older, but like at 40, I think you can still be a very fit, very proficient individual who really has very few downsides as a human body setup. But yeah, so I think anywhere between 20 and 40. I think that when you're a bit younger, you still have like that, like really great resilience, obviously, to a lot of things, like getting fat, like getting
bendy bones,
like breaking bones. Absolutely.
Rubber bones.
Your eyesight's probably better because you know your 20s, you still haven't seen a lot.
Yeah. When does your brain fully develop? That's around 18 to 20,
mid-20s,
right?
Yeah. They say that like your mind and the way that you process the world settles at around roughly the mid-20s. So that's like, this is separate from like brain development, so not just brain physiology, although your physiology of your brain is always changing, but yeah, like at around 25, sociologically speaking, people tend to be set in their ways or have worked out roughly how they see the world in terms of culture, perspective, idea, like,
bear in mind, so this saying, how would your life change today, or be changed from this, surely society as a whole would be changed by the fact that 400 years is a long time to live, and that many people on this planet doesn't mention anything about the planet being different or there being more space or more resources.
Yeah, this causes a massive
crisis. Surely there's going to be a very different kind of way of living for everyone.
We suddenly all have to worry about poverty. The future and the encroaching climate change problems and stuff that we still are going to be alive for and all that shit. So maybe someone will pull their finger out and be like, oh, it affects me again. Okay, now I care again. Maybe. But then there'll be maybe a huge overpopulation because suddenly you've got billions of people that can live to 400 years old. That's an issue.
I mean, ultimately, you're just
stretching out time. If that was the case.
I think that ultimately human beings would end up living the same patterns and the same lives and the same decisions because time is relative to your experience of it. And that would just mean that eventually everybody would just get used to it.
Like your life at 90, right? The childhood is a blip because relatively speaking, that was a small portion of your life. Mm. 400 years, your first 30 would be a blip.
Relatively speaking. That's why when Ross started with that first point, which I think is really relevant, is like how is it experienced? Because for us, I'm guessing you guys think the same thing, but for me, like I look back on my childhood, my adolescence and stuff like that, and it's fucking crazy to just...
It's a blip.
It remembered at the time, it felt like forever. And like you say, there are plenty of things about it which are boring as hell, you know, boring jobs, boring school, things like that. There's a lot of time that you wanted to disappear. And then as soon as it's in the rear mirror, you're like, whoa, hold on, we just passed that. Hold on, what happened?
Yeah.
Like,
it's just exponential speeding up.
Yeah.
And it's hard to quantify, and you can't explain that to someone that's young that hasn't had that experience yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's when people like say, was it, you don't really know what you've got at that age and stuff, and you know, take advantage of the time you've got, but you can't really appreciate it until you
it's a cruel dichotomy.
I don't think you need to tell people that. It's just make sure they're doing okay. And
when you tell people to make the most of it, because obviously people worry about things that obviously for us now seem insignificant at the time, were big deals. And you know, if you said, look, in a couple of years you're gonna forget that even happened.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about it. Don't spend too much
in the grand scheme of things.
I guess.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's a little dependent. No, it's not. Yeah. I think it's actually a positive spin because right now I think, you know, I'm living a better life than I have done. I don't think I regret or feel like, oh, I wish I was that age again because of I know who I was and I was a bit more naive and reckless and stupid versus now a bit more refined. Yeah, I've probably got way more mental health baggage. But, you know, I can solve that as we go. And research and stuff is getting better. So, whereas it wasn't in my childhood.
I mean, that's the other thing to consider is that, 400 years is a long time for someone to put time into a project and time into research. And rather than, you know, passing it down to the next person, like, say, a scientist is working on a huge project that's going to cure cancer or something.
See it through.
Passing that down probably slows the process in some way, right? You've then got to teach new people
knowledge
the same things and stuff. So I wonder if that would accelerate because it's like one person. I don't know.
I imagine a lot of listeners/viewers are thinking this. Holy crap, how would I survive 400 years? Like, in terms of sometimes, and I think that's partly a good thing, is life takes a big toll on pretty much everyone. I think in different ways, like however you want to examine it, it's not always a bad thing, but it takes its toll. And by the end of it, I think probably you're more okay with death because you're like, God, I mean, that was a colorful life, but like it came in both ups and downs. And I'm a little exhausted. And if a person was to, you know, think about the stresses and challenges you face now, to know that you will have to at least overcome those challenges in order to live a truly fulfilling life is probably very intimidating and very daunting.
That's from our current point of view, I think. And I think that 400 years is a long time for a lot of wars.
Yeah.
Don't you think? And obviously with the amount of people on the planet, I imagine there would be quite a lot of wars.
Or
I
would that generation learn their lesson?
So you would either try to live and survive through them. Yeah. And who knows if there would be progression on that end, but I think there'd be a resource.
I think one great war is enough to put people off for at least 20 years though. This is like, as in like, we can look at history maybe. And go, you know, like, the big wars, the people that remember them, the people that survive them, learn the lessons.
Don't want them again.
Exactly. They learn the lessons that war is just horrible. It's not excite. It's not vindicating. It's not great. It's just misery and death and just everything that's shit about being a human being, basically. And you have to go through
the difference
that.
Is, yeah, the individual
has 21 years.
Been through it and it would have been through it and will still be alive for 400 years. So it's...
Exactly. They remember, they would learn their lesson and hopefully it would last for longer. Peace would last longer until, you know, a couple of generations time. Oh, this sounds familiar. When people forget how terrible war is because they haven't had to deal with it or look at it. And then everyone starts getting nationalistic and jingoistic. Like, and
we
it's
did
just
this
like...
for you and all that stuff.
Well, they did. Yeah. The thing is, the problem is even our grandparents now really, they were children in the war. Like, you know, my grandma, who's 93, was, a child in the war. Mm. Like, she didn't fight or anything.
You lose your attachment to it because you didn't experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were 21 years between World War One and Two.
Well, this is why I said 20 years because that's what you can expect.
But obviously now, there's a bigger gap between a world war, but the current wars that are happening are for resources, for fuel and stuff. Like, it would be, I wonder if 400 years would be quite chaotic to try to survive through saying that.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Interesting hypothetical.
Well, I didn't expect it to be that deep. I thought it was going to be like...
Wow.
I'd probably bang for 200 years and I'd treat my life seasonally. So in springtime, the first 100, I'd be like this guy and then I'd be a builder for 100 years. And then
that's kind of cool. That's a cool idea. Leaving your life seasonally.
How many marriages
though,
do you think people will go through in 400 years?
Have all seasons seems crazy. Maybe live like 10 years of your life seasonally so that like, you know, it is spring and Chris Trott is dressed as a spring nymph. And he's like running around.
I'm an autumn nymph.
I'm themed in rebirth. And it's just like.
My clothes are dropping off.
Extremely extravagant. Yes, it's autumn now. My clothes have gone all crispy and they've started to fall away. And it's just like. Yes,
oh, whoops.
For a full 10 years, Trott, you're doing this for a full 10 years.
Yeah. I think a lot of
there would also be quite a disparity.
Insane.
Thinking about the fact that, like, if you stayed the same kind of in the same physical state for a couple hundred years, you could be 300 years hanging out with someone who's like 100 years old.
Yeah.
And, like, you would physically be the same. And it's just like, but someone knows a lot more or it's been through a lot more. And that would be kind of quite a surreal thing to.
I think that's good.
Experience, I imagine.
So I think it's a bit of a deterrent when you have to interact with someone older because they physically look like they've been through it, right? And you're like, there's a huge gap here and I can't relate
to you
that
well.
You'd
meet your parents' age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that strange? So you would basically be hanging out with your parents like they're your pals in the sense that there's no physical differences. Yeah. And that would be kind of strange, don't you think?
It would. Yeah. I mean, I guess you'd have to examine the reasons that we're different to other generations or other levels of our, you know, what are the driving factors for it? Like, I guess age usually is one of the main dividers because, you know, my grandma is not capable of going mountain biking with me and she's not interested in playing first person shooters on the internet. You know, like
that's the thing.
Like those are the dividers really. Right. So
if you have the physical capability to keep learning and doing new things, I think you want to rather than be like, I'm tired and my bones, my head doesn't work, et cetera.
And the question here, what did Yoda do for 700 years? Well, I think we all saw that horrible little hut he was in. He was that was a 700-year wank sesh.
Slumming it.
It was. Like, you know, the walls of it were like, they looked like they'd been sort of pasted on. You know, that's what he's been doing.
What's this with these lawful good Jedis just like retreating from it all when it all gets a bit too much?
Just going to a little island somewhere.
Obi-Wan did it.
Right.
He's a hermit.
Well, maybe, like say time moves differently, so maybe it's just a nice relaxing moment, but it's several years.
If you live that long, the city is too busy and noisy, right? It moves too quickly, whereas the nature and shit, you could probably watch trees grow fully in your lifetime. Too deep, five me.
Yeah. Do you want to see what the second one is, quickly?
All right, well, let's dip into it.
Or do you want to go, on to the next section?
Well, we got a minute and a half to talk about it.
All right, quick one then. Second Patreon suggestion. Yeah. If you could change one thing about the human body, if you could change one thing about how the human body has evolved, what would it be?
many things. Oh, I think a lot of primitive instincts from our predator prey days, where you get unnecessary anxiety or whatever from random shit that doesn't exist anymore. That'd be nice to fix.
Yeah.
Also, don't put my shit factory next to my fun factory. Let's move that about a bit.
Right. Put that somewhere else. Well, I mean, I think we've mentioned this before, maybe on this very podcast in an earlier state, but maybe a little, you know, cage around the balls, or maybe they don't need to be out of the body.
Ball cage.
Maybe they shouldn't
put
be in a vulnerable position where they could be twisted manipulated in some way that just tuck them away somewhere
what
nice.
About
somewhere
one ball
that they,
instead of
safe.
Two? Or three, actually?
Well, maybe if it was an efficient system, you know?
What about redundant
that could
organs?
Be more efficient.
Backup heart? That'd be nice.
A couple of backups. Why not? Or get rid of the ones that we don't need at all.
I mean, a backup.
What is it? We don't need the appendix.
It's kind of hard to
effort.
It's kind of hard to create a system where you have backups that isn't just part of the system. Yeah. Do you see what I mean? Like the thing about a backup is it comes online when the other one goes offline, right? Because if you had two hearts that were like connected to the same system, both hearts, unless they could sort of increase and decrease the pressure somehow, they basically both have to work. It's a little bit like working in series or working in parallel.
Yeah. So about they share the load until one dies and then the other one's capable of growing to take on the ability of the second.
I mean, I like it. Yeah, could work. That could work. I mean, potentially, yes.
What about 18 mini hearts then? And then they slowly can get bigger and smaller depending on failures, you know?
Well, the problem is there, Trot. So there's two problems is that, first of all, more moving parts tends to mean more likely to fail as a rule in design.
Yeah.
The second thing is that, like, so you've got 18 mini hearts, right?
Yeah.
If they're small, the thing that causes a lot of heart attacks is blood clots, right? So if you go smaller, you're making all of the little pipes and holes and valves smaller.
True, yeah.
And you're increasing the likelihood of blood clots, probably. I mean, again,
you need a
not
bigger
a doctor.
Heart to pump as well.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
true.
I would guess.
All right.
How about quicker, we just, you know, fly? You know,
fly.
You know, we could human beings
being
could
able to fly.
It would be exciting, wouldn't it?
Is that
the ability
the human
to
should evolve? Yeah, what to have wings?
Yeah, where like instead of walking as our primary, I mean, still I want to walk. This is the problem, I guess. Is a trade off. You either get to be good on the ground and in on the ground and sort of in trees, or great in the air and sort of in trees and shit on the ground. It is a trade off, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard this somewhere before where somebody said about running and how most people don't really. I mean, a lot of people don't run. They don't go running, really. So if you had wings, would people really go flying all the time?
You think they walk around on the floor like pigeons?
Like excessive use of their energy, where it's just like, I'm not fucking...
That's a lot of effort.
All that way. Like, oh, I'm knackered. I'm tired. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's a good point. What about, like, breathing? You just not breathe as much, or have gills, go underwater?
Gills
nice.
Would be amazing. Yeah. Gills would be incredible. It would be a great... I mean, that's this... what's that film with Kevin Costner?
Waterworld.
Waterworld.
Yeah, where he has gills in his... Great addition, I think. That would be amazing because it opens you up to the ocean.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
No
I'd get
cancer,
rid of the...
No fat
Yeah, I'd get
storage.
Rid of, like, the reproductive and regenerative challenges. Let's just say challenges.
Like, just get rid of those systems.
Like, you know, yeah, like the problem with, you know, cancer, like you say, and things like that. We're not very good at it.
Make pregnancy easier. I think, yeah, so...
And the remove the need for a menstrual cycle. I mean, I'm up for eggs.
Yeah.
Maybe like reptile-style eggs, perhaps.
Eggs?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Because of the way the human body has evolved, our brains, our heads are so big that we come out earlier than most mammals.
Right.
And we reach maturity outside the womb way more so than most animals, whereas a lot of animals can just fall out and start walking around.
Like a giraffe.
Ours are just like little redundant flesh meat sacks for a while before they're capable of surviving on their own.
How long are you meant to put them in the microwave for?
When we're... 2 minutes. Two and a half minutes. 700
on average.
Is it bought in the bag?
It comes with a bag.
Really depends. Depends where you get it from. Iceland, maybe.
Right, let's take a quick ad break. And I say we continue with that. So see you in a second.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Wow, it's been a whole second, wow. Especially for our Patreon guys who get the ad-free version. Anyway, I don't know why we got onto pregnancy, but that is an annoying factor, isn't it, of the human body. Not so for us,
because
we'd have to go through it.
Be able to basically be, match fit, so to speak, straight out of there. You want to be able to walk. Maybe not talk straight away. Obviously, that's something you need to learn.
Score a goal for England. You want to walk out the womb, score a goal for England.
Get him on the pitch. He's fresh out. Go, go, go. Subbed him on. But that would be interesting. Rather than the whole having to kind of nurture for a long period of time. But maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. It's a bonding thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, true. You could just say that, bonding is also changed and how that's just, I mean, it's complicated. Like, I mean, the first thing that Trot said actually made the most sense, I think, being able to understand and edit our brain's biochemistry and electrical systems would be very handy. Because,
did I say that?
Well, no, you didn't say it in so many words, but the ember of an idea into a roaring flame, Trot, all right?
That's thank you.
That's why sometimes I can't.
It's a tiny flame.
You were saying about how you could change the way your brain works, right? It's like dealing with like mental health and things like that.
I'm pretty sure I said move the anus away from
no,
my
you,
dick.
No, before so. That you said
you
another
did
thing.
Say that, but before you, that you meant
that was the funny thing you said. Another thing you said was that would help. I think that like our brains are asked to deal with a lot. Increasingly, more and more, we're asked to deal with a lot of information, a lot of experiences, a lot of
that's the previous hypothetical
feelings
and
interactions. And it wasn't the previous. There was definitely something you said at the start of this chart that made me think this, but I can't remember what you said, and I'm not going to dwell any further on this. But I swear it was in this Patreon, this hypothetical. I just think it's great to be able to customize your brain chemistry, because it can make people feel great, it can make people feel miserable, it can ruin lives, it can affect your body, it can affect so many different things. And to be able to properly understand and edit that, because like even now mental health is treated with medications that kind of seem to work and don't seem to have too bad a downside, but it doesn't really it's based on ideas and evidence, but like
it might be a little ham-fisted.
What about cell degradation? Exactly. In general, reducing cell degradation, so like where you lose brain cells all the time, etc.
Well, that's just if
we evolved to a point where we just didn't waste away as fast.
That's essentially trying to aim
where
for
our body stayed stronger for longer.
Really,
In a way,
or just whilst you're in your life cycle, it doesn't progressively get worse and worse. You just have an end point, which is just like you got shot.
Yeah,
you're a healthy person right until the moment you die.
Self healing as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Self-healing skin.
Self-healing skin would be good.
Does Wolverine have self-healing skin?
Wolverine,
self-healing everything.
I mean, there's one scene in one of the less good X-Men films where he gets shot in the forehead, goes down, and then it just goes...
Oh, yeah. Slowly pushes out of his forehead.
You're like,
the only way to kill him is to cut
off
his head, right?
He gonna do something. It's because of his. You can see the little slots in his knuckles when they cut
they
open.
They keep healing.
At the beginning,
yeah.
He's like, it hurts. He's using that rage to
he
power his
pain, though.
It's
a kink.
Fight.
A big simpler time, one. Time. Just the ability for your body to produce the vitamins that other animals can and we can't.
So we're like self-sufficient.
We can produce vitamin A through to Z. That would be nice. The vit D. We have deficiencies because we have to soak in the sun. Like, why not be able to produce it ourselves?
You want to be able to photosynthesize. Trot wants to be able to photosynthesize. Create your own oxygen.
I want to be like quiet from Metal Gear Solid.
Until the sun dies, you're screwed.
Huh?
Yeah.
Until the sun dies, you'd be screwed. I'll see the moment that's gone.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that's going to really challenge life on Earth. Yeah. I think there's bigger fish to fry at that point.
I watched a video about it the other day. It was very
interesting. That is like literally going to be the end of the immortality. That's what I was saying about, like, you never really want true immortality because then you're just eventually going to be drifting through space for a very long time.
Mm.
And you probably aren't going to enjoy that. I mean, it'll be cool.
Pretty bad existence.
But it's a lot of alone time.
Well, because when this... what was I watching? It was a Vsauce video, but it was saying basically if the sun just suddenly disappeared, the moment it disappeared, we would just ping off into a straight line from where we were. So we would just ping off
endlessly
into space straight. We might survive maybe a week before everything kind of freezes over and everyone can live underground for a little bit before we just die because there's no... There's nothing. Nothing grows
anymore.
Nothing
to grow,
But it's very interesting, just, you know, what if? What if that just happened now? It could happen
the
right
sun
now.
Just disappeared.
If a pole switched.
Well, the pole switching wouldn't have quite the same
tear
impact.
Tear ourselves apart.
But, I mean, so there's a game called Universe Sandbox, which you might enjoy, where you can literally do stuff like that. So you can like delete the sun.
Oh, really?
And funnily enough, I did that in it. When you said it, like, oh, what would happen if we removed the sun?
Straight away.
They just ping off.
This is why we shouldn't have like galactic control of anything, because one human's going to be like, because I can, I will. Mm. I'm going to delete the sun.
I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It's gone, you idiot. The nearest sun's
so far
away. As soon
as you get the tools. Flick it away.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, that was some good hypotheticals. That took us all the way to 30 minutes. So I reckon we should talk about stuff that you've seen or funny news, anything like that.
There's some funny news, some interesting news. I put on a footnote here that England lost in the final, of course.
Good pun as well.
Obviously, you guys are big football fans. But, I mean, that's probably the closest we'll get for a long time, unfortunately. That's why it was so devastating for some people. But do we deserve it? I don't know.
The fans don't. I mean, the fans that destroy stuff
don't. Crazy fans, yeah.
All the good fans, totally fine. Enjoy the sport. Have a great time. I wish I could enjoy that, something like that, as much as you guys do. Because holy shit, you get so much out of it. But then again, it comes in swings and balance. Because when it hurts, it really hurts. I guess.
But then we hype ourselves up in general.
True.
Like it's always just like, oh, we're gonna do it. It's coming home, and then it's just like, oh, it didn't come home. And then it's just like, oh yeah, no, that was the alternative. The two options, two outcomes there.
I feel like with all these things, like. Sad. You know, I remember when I was younger, and you know, my mum and her side of the family really into football, and like we would be watching stuff like that, like say we were watching the World Cup or the Euros or something like that, and you'd be really excited about it because those people around you were excited about it, you know, and you would get invested because essentially that's what this is. It's everybody agreeing to get invested in something and to enjoy the highs and lows that come from that experience, right?
Yeah,
it is hard when you're a person that sort of goes like. Yeah, I kind of get what you're doing, why you're doing it, and why you like to get excited about this. But like, at the base level, it's basically you're going, yeah, okay, I'll choose to get on board this hype train with you. And it's like, I don't really care about football. I think it does have a huge cultural impact. I think that's undeniable. As a person that is interested in the way that the world works and the way that countries and civilizations are affected by all these things, undeniably, football is an element of that. I do think it was 100% used as a sort of distraction, really, and I mean for good and for bad. It was great to have people happy and excited. I hope that didn't lead them to go and spread COVID in our country, which I mean
amount of cases.
Yeah, I mean I think it's just most young people, myself included. I mean, I'm not doing a huge amount of what I would think is particularly risky stuff, but I think currently in the UK it's people in their 20s to their 40s who are going out and spreading it. And I think that's what's happening. Whether or not football had a part of that, I don't know. But I do think it was, you know, used as a salve for a lot of the crap that we're currently going through. I hope that it wasn't effective.
I think it was a glimmer of hope that was used. Yeah, wasn't it? It was just like, oh, look, we might win. And then, you know, oh, don't, you know, you're allowed to boo them. And then, oh, don't boo them. They're doing well. It's just like, okay.
I think that whilst our government tried to use it as a vehicle to make them look good, I think it's ended up making them look bad, which I think is great because they're a bunch of crooks who don't give a shit about any of the things that people care about.
Bans, aren't they, on racist fans?
Well, yeah, well, that should be great. I mean, racism is a crime.
Happened a long time
and
ago.
And it should be enforced. You know,
it's just a crime,
Like, yeah, yeah, great, brilliant, yeah. Let's. I thought we were all actively trying not to encourage racism.
Oh, this is a new thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so, wouldn't you? Yeah.
And I just,
you want a pat on the back.
Whenever I hear this stuff, and like you hear people saying like, yeah, they didn't need to take the knee. I thought that the racism kick it out was good enough. Like, I see that posted so many places when people talk about this stuff. They're like, yeah, there was already an anti-racism campaign called Kick It Out in Football. It was doing a great job. It's like, was it? There's still racism. Like, what's wrong with an extra thing as well? It was doing well. Yeah, no. Projected to end racism by 2025, I think. And it's just like, what are you talking about?
It was doing so well. I wasn't affected by any racism that whole time.
And it's just like,
you're a white male.
We still haven't got it. We still don't. There's still a huge amount of England that hasn't got that hasn't really got it, I don't think. I mean, hell, I feel like I don't understand it either. Anyway.
I'd like to link this to the hypothetical and patch out the effects of alcohol on the human body. If we could just simply patch out on a biological level that whole correlation between hooliganism and destroying everything and racism would be reduced by the drunk hordes of football fans. That would be nice.
Would that would alcohol even be appealing to that person? No, who
it would die off.
If anything, might enjoy that.
Be like water.
I think people would find other vices. I think that I was thinking about this today. I think that like life, you have human beings, you have a life, their experience of life, and then you have stresses and pleasures, right? And essentially, you use pleasures to balance the stresses, right? Yeah. And like, it's about finding that balance of, you know, there's enough good things in my life that I'm still happy. The stress is still present because that is part and parcel of life, I think. You know, like, it happens regardless of what you try to do. And yeah, like, people use drink as a way to manage that stress, and they just have to find something else, because otherwise, where the hell else is it going to go? Is it going to go? It doesn't just destroy stress. Like, this is the reality trap. Most people drink
brain patching, like you said. I'm stressed. Make me happy and calm. Thank you. That's the vice.
Stress is the problem, not really the alcohol. I would say you're right, though. I mean, as with anything, we get addicted to all things. It's probably not best that we all spend most of our time on our ass all day. You know, it's probably better for our bodies if we, us three, were tree surgeons or some sort of active job. You know,
that sounds like the hazard
using
there
wings,
is quite high.
Exactly. Using our wings. You know, it's just
fall out a tree, chainsaw my leg off.
Yeah.
I didn't attach it to my tool belt properly. Mm. I wouldn't want to be a tree surgeon at all. That wouldn't be good for my body at all.
Well, something, sorry, this is the first thing that came to my mind where I thought, like, what's active lifting things and moving around and stuff? Like, I don't know. Guess it's a guy that cuts up
trees. Well, laborers have, like,
or a person.
Quite bad problems with their bodies.
Well, yeah, but that's because also they probably don't apply good lifting techniques either, do they? Like, you know, think about the shape.
Yeah, but I guess you're adding to the risk, though, by doing weird movements with your body all the time.
It will take its toll.
That's needed for the
job.
But
everything takes its toll, though. Not working out also takes its toll. Like, you know that.
I think professional swimming is better than for the best.
Become
of the body,
a professional
right?
swimmer, like Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do to reach Trot's desired, this is okay.
The job that's best
you have
for
to
your
be
body
one of the greatest
is
athletes
saying.
Ever.
Yeah. Essentially, that's not too much trouble for everyone.
Simple.
Quickly then, let's talk about the Steam Deck. Not Stream Deck.
Yes.
The Steam Deck.
Stupid name, eh?
When I saw that title as well, I was thinking of Elgato's Stream Deck, and I was like, God, is
those
there like, do they have rights
such
to that in any way?
Name.
Is it like, because it's going to be so annoying to like talk about one or the other. I mean, obviously, we don't really talk about Stream Decks. They're literally something that streamers use
to
control
SEO
their stream. So it's very
destroyed.
Few.
It's so dumb.
What's going to happen?
Their SEO is destroyed.
Oh. On Google is going to say, did you mean Steam Deck when you type in Stream Deck?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's such a weird choice of name, but like, because like literally, do they go like, oh, this polled the best, and that was it? Because everyone went, yeah, no, I've heard Steam Deck before. That sounds like a good name, and then they realize it's actually a product that exists.
That's a good point. Yeah, as a console, it doesn't really sound like.
I guess it is a deck. It looks
amazing,
like a skate deck, doesn't it?
It looks like a Game Gear. Remember Game Gear?
Yes,
it looks like a
got that vibe to it.
Controller
as well. It's got fixed, if you describe it to somebody listening now, it's got fixed controllers. It looks like a Switch, but it's a bit wider from the looks
of it. 6 centimeters
the
longer.
The controls are in different places, and it's all one built-in unit, like the, I guess there's a new Switch now, which has controllers built in, so it's almost like that.
Yeah,
some people were calling
they
it Gabe Boy, although it's obviously quite hard to say quickly.
Gabe
like Gabe
Boy.
New,
that's
that would
hard
be, yeah.
to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'd end up saying Gabe
exactly.
Boy a lot.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Gabe Master was another one somebody came up with.
I like the idea of it. I think it's going to do all right. It's got a lot of tech for the price. Apparently, they really had to cut a marginal profit on this thing in order to just spread this thing out. On paper, it seems good. Games, though.
That's the goal, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently it's like...
More people gaming.
The equivalent in terms of next gen, if you want to put next gen in quote marks, it's like an Xbox Series S, but worse. So they're pushing out to a 720p screen 60. So it doesn't need as much processing power as a Series S. But to have that in a handheld device is leaps ahead of the Switch. However, the Switch's ecosystem is very much Nintendo. You plug it in and it works. But, I don't know how this is going to go.
But the price, though, the price of games won't be that Nintendo overpriced standard, which
they've
set.
That's true.
Plus, I think that's a positive for anyone who's looking for a wider choice and actual... I mean, we're not selling it. We're not trying to sell it to anyone. But that's the appeal, I think, in having that. Plus, obviously, if you've already got Steam and you've got games, that's a great thing to be like, oh, I can just play on this now instead when you're out and about or something.
I really want it to succeed. I really want it to be good. I am interested in it. I think it could be really cool. I like the Switch. Yeah. I didn't like the position of the analog sticks, and I didn't like the choice of games. So that's why I never really got into the Switch.
This seems better position for our bigger thumbs at the top there.
Big thumbs,
I like the idea of being able to sit on the sofa and play games and also be on like Discord.
Yeah.
And it'd be any game on your library.
The other benefit is for anyone who doesn't... If you don't own a PC already, that's the perfect kind of like portal too, because you can connect a keyboard and mouse to it. You can connect it to a screen and treat it like a PC.
And you can install Windows, but obviously that would remove the whole integrated UI and stuff.
Looks like a pretty good.
You can install Windows on it.
Looks like a pretty good Rocket League machine as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like it's basically the kind of thing you can play on it. A lot of thumbstick based stuff.
Yep.
I mean, it's interesting. I don't think it's priced too badly. I think if it was more expensive, it would be a harder sell. Because I think there's a chance that it won't be good. I mean, it really does depend on what
it could be like the
how
Vita.
Often you use it. Do you think so? Question.
The Vita was kind of locked off because of the type of cartridge the games were.
Proprietary true. Yeah,
that always affects the market massively. Mm. And when you can just download games now,
digitally,
that's easy.
Yeah, it really does eliminate a lot of those challenges. Yeah.
Well, that comes out in December. You can place a reservation now, I think, but it's going to be really limited. One per Steam account, apparently. So
I'm sure we'll hear more about it once it's out and stuff.
It looks like a £4 reservation or something, according to Steam.
Yeah,
I'm going to try and
reserve
one. They've
got a lot of anti-scalper things.
See what they're like. Let's hope it's not like the Steam controller.
See what the hubbub's about.
Yes. We're at the 41-minute mark.
Okay.
We're happy with that, unless you want to do a quick funny news. It's entirely up to you.
There's a couple here. There's one which I've titled A Cutting Tale. One is An Unlikely Children's Entertainer and Presidential Hiccup. One of which just addresses something we mentioned about hiccups not long ago.
This was Bolsonaro, the leader of... Brazil,
Brazil.
He's been hospitalized for having
10 hours of hiccups, right? Straight hiccups.
A week
of hiccups.
He's had a week long hiccup.
He looks pretty unhappy there, doesn't he? But then he is burning the rainforest, so maybe he deserves it.
And he's not really helped with the COVID thing because even though he had COVID, he blamed it on mold in his house. And he said, it's just mold in the lung. So
brilliant.
He's very much trying not to address
the COVID situation.
This
guy's really doubled down on narcissistic.
And now he's been cursed with hiccups.
I mean, good, I suppose.
Karma.
Yeah, I think so.
Karma came calling. Mm. It's a systemic problem in Brazil, though, the whole rainforest thing. Mm. So, please stop burning the rainforest. I understand that farmers need to have a life, but maybe government provide them with an alternative. I don't know. It's all about money. That was funny, though.
Kind of.
That was funny.
Is anything funny at the moment? I'm not sure. I hope so.
I don't know.
Just got to keep laughing.
The other one was about castration. So
adjust your frame of reference to what's normal, and anything can be funny.
I don't know. Exactly.
Lol, just lol it off. We're doing these weekly now, and we'd like to give a huge thanks to our Patreons for continuing to support us. We hope you're enjoying the ad-free versions that are going up on Patreon. We have a new feature, which is the private RSS feed, which allows you to subscribe to it on your podcast software / app of choice, and then you'll automatically get the updates on that. So hopefully that works for you. And for everybody else, there is a YouTube channel where we don't have those injected podcast ads. You just have the regular YouTube stuff going on, and with the visuals, obviously. And I'd like to say a huge thanks to the people that have been emailing hatchat@hat-films.com with their fingles. If you have a good little fingle for us, please send it in. We'd like to use it at the front and the end. We've got the full version of Django's coming up soon, which I'd like to know if you're related to the lead singer of King Crimson. Please let me know. That'd be great. But until then, we'll see you next Friday. Have a bloody good week, everybody. Bye for now.
See you in F. Bye.